Welcome to the Health Coach with Dr. Nick on Hunters Bay Radio. I'm joined again in studio with Elka Schultz. Hi, Elka.
Hi.
How you doing?
Pretty good.
Good. Last show, we discussed a lot of stuff about the brain and neural pathways. In case you missed that show, basically this is about making change and how we are not our brain and how we can have a partnership with our brain to make the changes that we want to make in our lives. Changes, simple changes such as eating better, exercising, ranging to some mental health issues, which we're going to talk about today because this is how you intervene with people, okay? So Elka Schultz is an art therapist here in Bracebridge. She's also a certified EMDR therapist. We're going to be talking about those two services today. Elka is also the author of a book called Loving Your Life. So I'll make reference to, you have a website. What's your website?
It's myname.com.
So ElkaSchultz.com. So ElkaSchultz. It's your Z. .com. So, and on it, there's a link to a YouTube video on You Are Not Your Brain, which we discussed last show. You can purchase her book there, and there are many free downloads on your website as well. Okay, so if you love this episode, you want to hear more, go to the website or tell your friends about it. So, Elka, let's talk about EMDR.
Okay.
Okay, what it stands for, what it does, how it helps.
Well, EMDR stands for eye movement, desensitization, and reprocessing. It's a fairly new therapy in that it's about 40 years old. Francine Shapiro made it famous in the States using it for post-traumatic stress with the veterans.
Okay.
And it's interesting because it talks about eye movement. However, what it really, she would love to rename it. Only once she did, it really took off. And it's a research-based therapy, and it made the World Health Organization in 2013. So it's it has a lot of backup, and it actually is gaining in its, popularity rather quickly because it's actually a very effective, fast therapy.
Okay.
And it works with neuroscience, which we talked about last time and is a fascination of mine, as well as art therapy. And that is one of the things that I find is so powerful with art therapy is that it also works with your neural pathways.
Okay. So EMDR, let's talk about that a little bit. A bit more. So eye movement, is there any eye movement involved with the therapy? Give me a typical session, I guess, with someone.
It's hard to answer, I suppose.
Yeah, I know.
Firstly,
are there exercises that people do and affirmations? No, it's none of that stuff. Okay.
No, happens when somebody comes in and they're having some distress in how they're living their life. So something isn't working. So what we do is a pretty thorough intake and history. And then we give it about 3 sessions. We do a lot of talk therapy and figuring out what and which path do we go in.
Okay.
So and then we make up a plan. And, you know, is it just simply counseling? Because sometimes that's what it is, making some shifts in the life.
Sure, okay, absolutely.
Or is it something else? So the EMDR actually is bilateral stimulation.
Okay.
And what we're doing is processing memories that have been trapped in the brain. And we call them big T's and little T's because it doesn't have to be a big trauma.
Yes.
It could be.
It's a very good point here, yes.
Yeah, it could be falling off a bicycle when you were 3 years old.
Yeah, amazing.
Your brain, and this is something science doesn't really know or have an answer as to why the brain went, oh, we're grabbing that memory, we're locking it in. So it gets locked into the body in a somatic way, so in all the senses. And then it's trapped.
Okay.
So then, you know, later on, somebody might be afraid of bicycle riding.
Yes.
They may not ever want to ride a bicycle.
Yes.
And no reason as
to
why.
And then they start having these thoughts, oh, what's wrong with me?
Yeah, right.
You see, I'm just not cut out for exercising or whatever it is. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So it may be something that's
that's
trapped. And what happens then, the brain will trap other memories. And so they'll feed her memories. So when we unlock that, a lot of clients will say they have like a domino effect of memories. And it doesn't mean they're bad memories. It could be just like a flip chart of memories. They go, whoa, haven't thought of those things. Like a deck of cards, someone going, in these memories. Or some people have said that they felt it was like a train moving and all these memories were put over. And it's like putting them in the proper filing cabinet.
Ah, nice.
It is nice. It's actually kind of a neat experience. It does tire them out because all the memories have been alivened in the body.
Sure.
So not really they're not reliving it.
Gotcha.
It's like watching them.
Gotcha.
So that's more the – so we don't re-traumatize or anything like that. So they're not doing that. And it's really – the way I had it once explained to me was – it's a messy filing cabinet.
Yeah.
Let's put them in the file.
That's exactly what I was
thinking. So a sad memory will still be a sad memory. However, it won't have the charge.
Yes.
We'll bring that charge down.
Yes,
so I've seen EMDR work really fantastic. And usually the people go, wow, they're just going, because it's so amazing to watch the brain do this filing thing. So that's a very simple way of talking about it.
No, that's fantastic. You mentioned bilateral stimulation.
Yes.
What does that involve?
Well, there's Francine Shapiro. She began with eye movement.
Okay.
So it's a back and forth eye movement thing. It's not hypnotherapy. I just want to be clear with that.
That's good. Thank you.
The other, because people have thought, oh, it looks like that, and it isn't. You're very much, there's dual awareness. You know you're sitting in the office. We do preparation work. You know you're having this memory and you're going through it. So there's no where you go somewhere else or anything. The other method is you can wear headphones and bilateral sound.
Oh, okay.
And another one is bilateral tapping. And I also have buzzers. So, again, it's not electrical, it's just stimulation. And what it's doing is just triggering both hemispheres and going, oh, we got to file this.
Absolutely.
And it files the memory. So it's very cool.
So you're doing this as you're talking about?
Yes, the client actually directs it. And it's interesting. It's a very interesting therapy, is that we don't interfere. So we set the stage, we hold the space, we make sure, you know, we're prepared and grounded. I watch the client, and then we really let the brain do its thing. So it's very fascinating, because people will say, am I doing it right? There's no right or wrong. Every brain's different, and you just let the brain do its thing. So it's quite interesting.
So this is quite comforting, because the person shows up, and they're leading, they're directing, and their brain is... My assumption is that if the brain is willing to do it, it feels safe.
Well, we make it safe.
You make it safe. Okay.
Absolutely. So it's about honoring, you know, if we have inner dialogue, we have aspects of ourselves. We need to honor that. It's not about crushing or pushing anything away.
Yes.
It's not about making something go away. So that then the brain starts relaxing, because it's going, oh, good, because this was important. I had an important job.
Mm-hmm.
So you better not tell me I'm not doing this job anymore, because then, yes, there
That's
will
right.
be resistance.
That's right. So again, working with, not working against.
Absolutely. And sometimes people get sick or tired.
Sure.
And that's when they need to ask the questions.
Okay.
You know, come in.
So this is, I mean, originally it was developed for post-traumatic stress disorder for war veterans. And I'm sure it applies to many types of post-traumatic stress.
Huge.
In making a link maybe to what I do, so say... people want to live a better lifestyle, they get it, they want to exercise and eat better.
Yeah.
Is it possible, and then they have challenges, and year after year, weight goes on and off. Is it possible that there's some memory here, something, a big T or a small T?
Absolutely.
The small T's are even worse, because they're almost like, why, how can that do anything? That are sabotaging their best efforts.
Yeah.
I think it's more common than we give it credit.
Yeah, I think so. I've had people where, you know, young people where they had a certain belief system, or they were stuck and they didn't want to go to school, or they felt they couldn't.
Okay.
And we uncovered a belief system. Once it was uncovered, there was no block. It was done.
Wow.
Yeah, it is a wow. And in myself, we have to practice on ourselves. I've noticed, you know, whether it was... I had a fire when I was 8 years old in my home, and I didn't realize it, but I still carried that. And and was very worried every time I left the property. So more so than I needed to be.
Gotcha.
And did some EMDR about it, and it's pretty much gone. Am I still careful? Absolutely. Do I still double check? Totally, which is, I think, adult responsibility. However, I don't have that panic, heightened fear that I had from that 8-year-old memory. Yeah. So that got processed. So there's things like that. And you're right about bad habits. You know, there's probably a reason.
Okay.
Good one. Thanks.
Fascinating stuff.
Fascinating.
So we'll take a short break here. And then when we come back, we'll chat about art therapy.
Okay.
Welcome back to The Health Coach with Dr. Nick on Hunters Bay Radio. Again, I have Elke Schultz in studio with me, and we were discussing EMDR therapy and how it can benefit people, whether from trauma in their lives, you know, up to making positive lifestyle changes in their lives. You also offer another type of therapy, which at first glance I didn't think was related. So art therapy. And you said art therapy is all about neural pathways, because again, in context, we're talking about the brain and changing habits. So maybe talk to us about art therapy.
Well, I actually started in art therapy. So okay. My whole life.
Because you're an artist. You paint, you do all.
Well, I'm more an author. And okay. People have seen me as a painter because that's what I've been in this community.
Okay.
So I write every day. I've written every day since I could. I do believe that we're all creative. And what fascinates me about art, and it actually, what I noticed when I was teaching art and what I noticed when I was doing my art, I was healing, and it was interesting to me. So I was always looking and listening at what was working, what's working, what was working for the students, what was working for me.
What a fantastic perspective.
So then I would always want to do more of it, and why was it working, and what combinations were working. And that's how I produced my first book. And I felt... I didn't know that there was a degree on art therapy out there.
Okay.
I wrote the book, and then I met the expressive arts community and the art therapy community, and it was, my teacher said, welcome home. And there's been pockets of us throughout the world. I actually got my master's in Switzerland, and there's another one of my professors in Appalachia University, similar experience. She was doing these arts, and she was having she has a counseling degree, and plus she's a professor, and she saw the links and kept doing more of why was this working, and wrote a book, and then came to the expressive arts community. So here we are, we meet in Switzerland, we told each other the story, and we both started to cry because we felt like we'd been alone in this journey.
Yeah.
And then when you feel and you meet a whole community of people and a degree, and there's movement out there, then you see how important it is. So the second edition has implemented the expressive arts language. The exercises are a little bit deeper because, of course, they have 7 years of education behind that.
Okay.
So, and the big part about art therapy is why it's so useful is so many times we have trouble articulating what it is we're truly feeling, whether we're a child or an adult. If I say to you, Nick, I'm sad today and I'm having a hard day, is how do you hear that?
Well, yeah, there's all my background and what that means to me. And there's my, you know, assumptions. You're a woman, a certain age, a certain cultural background. What does that mean to you? And then, yeah, sad can be, well, there's many qualities of sad. So, yes, exactly. I would collapse on one possibility amongst thousands of possibilities.
Right. We see and hear it through our own lens.
Absolutely.
And even at that, if you and I were to have a conversation about sadness or what that is, it still doesn't really express what's going on inside me.
Wonderful.
So when I put that out on paper, or maybe I can drum it to you, and I've done demonstrations where we've done that kind of work, or you see a clay sculpture and there's pictures online, you right away will go, whoa. That's their aloneness, or that's their sadness. It's moving because you see it at a very deep level, and it's like, you know, when people say a picture is 1,000 words, it's more than
It's more than 1,000.
So what
Not
happens?
Not just words. Yeah.
Yeah. So what happens is, if I've painted that picture, one, I've gotten it out of my body,
okay,
onto something, whether it's a painting, whether it's drumming, whether it's clay. So those are just a few modalities.
Sure.
There's many. So then. Now I can see it.
Yes.
Now the other piece that's really pivotal is you can see it. So now whoever is beside me can see what really is in my guts.
Yes.
Huge healing effect.
Absolutely.
And whenever that happens, whether it's in my studio or in the therapy office, the level of anxiety of holding that, I'm going to just say sadness,
sure,
the level goes down,
yes,
I don't know how many notches, if to calm, because it's been released, it's acknowledged, it starts processing, it starts moving. And to move past any emotion or our emotions is to really move through them. So mm-hmm. it's a vehicle mm-hmm. that does that. And the other powerful thing that happens is the brain gets fired in different ways. So music will fire the brain all over the brain.
Mm-hmm.
People, music therapists and drumming will go all fire all aspects of the brain. Art therapy will be more visual in the brain. Well, what happens is new pathways are being fired. So the client steps back and they just go, and we do a harvesting, which is like we look at, okay, what shifted now since we've done this? Wow, they just come up with this new enlightenment that I could have never guessed of what they needed to hear or experience or transcend to the next step of healing. So it's very powerful that way.
This is fantastic stuff. I mean, just as you were talking, I was thinking about when we go to raise our children, part of what we know we should do is to put them in music class, right? Because you hear the sign saying a child who learns to play an instrument or learns a second language or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
it has spillover effects
yep.
onto the traditional math and science.
Oh, yes.
And
oh,
writing
yes.
And all
totally.
That.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe we could take that a step further and saying, so unfortunately, as we focus on academics more and maybe athletics gets pushed to the side, you know, fewer recesses or whatever, and art is kind of secondary, right? Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, can you make a life as an artist? No, focus on science, all that stuff. So what are we losing? So I think we're limiting our children from fully developing their IQ, okay, and also their EQ.
Yeah,
okay?
And what art does is, actually, when people come to me and they say, you know, they want me to teach them art,
mm-hmm.
and what I say is, well, what I'm really doing is teaching you perception skills. So what happens is you're firing your neural pathways, and whenever I've taught a drawing class, and I use drawing in the book because it's so accessible. It's
mm-hmm.
not the only art by any means.
Okay.
It's just accessible. We can get a pen or a pencil,
yes.
pretty much anything, or a stick in the sand if that's
all we have.
And I don't
have to be
a
good artist, right? Because
no.
I've been told
no.
I'm not a good artist.
No.
Yes.
No, it's not about that.
Okay.
It's about expression. And what happens is when you're teaching these perception skills, your view of the world changes.
Yes.
So that's a huge leap. So, and you're right. And what's in between that is math, history,
sure.
Where we come from. Like, and so artists, students, let me say, when they come back after an art class or two, they say, they always, every single time, I've
yes.
been doing this for 40 years,
yes.
they come back and say, you know what? I didn't notice that we had pink highways in Muskoka. I didn't notice that the water is not blue.
Wow.
I didn't realize there were colors in the bark. And their whole world has opened up in a different way. And all I've done is taught them some perception skills.
Okay.
So it's huge. So when, like, I think art, of course, I'm very passionate about
yeah,
this,
yeah.
that teaching art to our children opens them up to seeing letters in a different way, math in a different way.
Absolutely.
We see it on a broader I guess composition.
Sure. Okay. I like this. And
mm-hmm.
I think as our worldview improves, and we see the pinks, and notice the flowers, from that perspective, then making simple changes such as eating healthier breakfast almost become a done deal. Because if there are pink highways in Muskoka, and if there are flowers that shimmer in the moonlight, or you know
yeah.
whatever,
oh, yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I'm gonna wanna take part more in this.
In your
and
life.
I'm, yes. And
mm-hmm.
I think even just subconsciously, I'm going to choose to do things that enhance my perceptions.
Well, you're going to see food differently.
I'm going to see
you
food differently.
Go in that way.
Yes.
You're going to see everything differently. So it's
Ooh.
Pretty powerful.
Just from like drawing stick figures.
yeah.
yeah.
Well,
okay.
not
maybe,
quite
maybe
stick
not
figures. Maybe an apple. Drawing an apple.
Drawing an apple. My goodness, my goodness.
I remember. Have a lot of fun, that's for sure.
Oh, yes. So how can I end up here, Olga? Wow. So again, let's just go over some key things. You offer many services, helping people on many different levels. It's all about the brain, neurology, based heavily on sciences and experience.
Practical and very practical.
Very, very practical. Everything you've said so far sounds very doable for anybody.
That is my style. I mean, since I could, I want to make it simple, and that is one of my gifts, is I can see things and make it simple.
Okay.
So it has logic, it has some practical, and then if I get it, I figure then I can translate it and share
Fantastic.
It. So, I want to include talk therapy
absolutely.
It gets mixed in all that.
For sure,
it's a comfort level for whoever.
Good. Right? Wow. Thank you. I feel like I've had my own therapy session. This has been, you've been a fantastic guest, and for sure we're going to have you on the show another time. Again, Elka Schultz, a fantastic therapist and resource here in Bracebridge. This is Dr.
Thank you.
You're welcome. This is Dr. Nick, the health coach for Hunter's Bay Radio, and we'll talk to you all next week.